chapter number 5. It's a joy to be in the house of the Lord, and I'm grateful. Glad there's still some young children interested in reading out of the Bible. John's Gospel, chapter number 5. Well, we had a good time at the house of the Lord this morning. I come in, heard that song, "Send the Light." I'm glad one day the Lord sent me the light. For Jesus is the light of the world. I'd like to pick up this afternoon where I stopped reading from this morning. John's Gospel, chapter number 5. We'd preach there about the stirring of the water at a certain season and a certain man. And Jesus said, "Arise and walk." He carried his bed. A crowd got upset because Jesus done something on the Sabbath day. Now it picks up in verse number, let's get 15. John 5:15. I'm going to preach from verse 19, but let's pick up verse 15. The Bible says, "The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. And Jesus answered them, 'My Father worketh here too, and I work.' Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise.'" You may be seated tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for the good grace of God, the hand of God about us. Thank you for stirring in our midst this morning. Now I pray that you'd use me to be a blessing tonight in the Word of God. Help those on our prayer list at our church. Thank you for these families that are so faithful to come back to your house. I pray you'd give them a blessing tonight. In the Spirit of God, I pray that you would help us with the things that we've studied, God, that we may be a blessing to the people tonight. Help us now. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. I'm going to preach out of verse number 19 just a few minutes tonight. I want you to follow real closely with me in your Bible this evening, because if you don't stay with me tonight, you're going to get lost in a hurry, because this is verse by verse, and let's just focus in on the Word tonight. And let's look and see what Jesus has to say. Now, He uses this word, "verily, verily." He said it again in 24 and 25, or "surely, surely," or "let me get your attention here." Verily, verily, surely, surely. "I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." And I will preach on this simple subject tonight out of John 5, on "like the Father, like the Son." Like the Father, like the Son. Now, first of all, you'll notice there's a great revelation of the Son. A lot of people have often wondered, well, how does the Son line up with God? Now, we know that Jesus was the spotless Lamb of God. We sing Him this morning, "Come through that great, great gate around the pool of Bethesda." It was the Lamb's Gate. It was a place where God sent His Son to be a sacrifice for the sins of the world. He came there at the sheep market. And he came through that lamb's gate. And so he heals this impotent man. And now a lot of people has to wonder, well, why did Jesus say the things about himself that he said? The Jews were going to stone him because he was recognizing God as his Father, and they didn't believe it. The Jews still don't believe that he is the one that sent to save the world. But tonight, notice like Father, like Son, there's the revelation of God's Son. In verse 19, look what the Bible says. Look at the Son's performance. The Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. I wonder if everything that your children would see you do, I wonder would it be all right with God? Now here, Jesus says, the Father's not hid nothing from me. And we see that what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. I like what one writer had to say about this statement. He said, the Father shows, the Son sees, the Father purposes, and the Son executes. I'm glad that they are one tonight. And therefore, we see the Son's performance. In verse 20, look at the Son's profoundness. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. And He will show Him greater works than these that ye may marvel. I'll give us a good notch to work at tonight. Everything that we as parents do, do we mind our children seeing it? You see, He said the Father loves and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. God said, I've got nothing to hide from you, son. Everything I do will be right and perfect. For God is right and He's perfect. And He said that He does everything and shows His Son. Now there's the Son's performance. There's the Son's profoundness. You see, anything that God knows, Jesus knows. That's amazing tonight. And so we see His profoundness. But then look in verse 20 at the Son's power. He said that, and He will show Him greater works than these that you may marvel. He says, you've not seen nothing yet. Because you see, the Son has power. Look in verse 21. Amazing statement what Jesus says. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them. That's a good wholesome Bible words. It simply means new life imparted. I'm glad that the Father brings life. I'm glad the Son brings life. I'm glad the Spirit brings life. And He says, the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. You'd say, well, I never would have thought they'd got saved. I never would have thought I got saved. But I'm glad I did. And I'm glad they did. And I'm glad you did. But here, like the Father, like the Son, we see the Son's performance, the Son's profoundness. He knows what the Father knows, and the Son's power. He said He has power to quicken those whom He will, or to give life unto. By the way, He's the life giver tonight. Then we see in verse 22, the Son's position. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now, in John 3 and 17, turn to the left in your Bible. The Bible reads, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So we see the Son's position. Judgment here. See, Christ don't bring judgment. Christ came to save. The person that rejects Jesus brings judgment upon themselves. For he said, he that believeth not brings condemnation upon himself. Jesus came to save. But at the end, Jesus will be our judge. For Jesus knows all of our hearts tonight. And like Father, like Son, we see His performance, His profoundness, His power, His position. But look in verse 23 at His praise. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Now, time out. Muslims will honor the Father, but they won't honor the Son. And you look what your Bible says, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. The Father wants us to honor His Son and lift Him high and holy. Jesus is still the only way to the Father tonight. For He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Me. This world don't have a problem as a whole, you mentioning God. But when you lift up His Son as the only way to God, that's where we draw a line in the sand. And I'm not backing up off what this Bible says tonight. I'm not going to hobnob with the who's who crowd. Honey, Jesus is the only way to heaven tonight. End of the conversation. And notice this, that all men should honor the Son. Underline that in your Bible. Let me tell you, in our church, we will never make too much of God's Son. We must magnify Him. Because the Bible says that all men should honor the Son, even as thou honor the Father. He that honoreth, watch this, watch. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. For you to honor Christ, you honor God. And therefore, God delights us in honoring His Son. Isn't that amazing? He took your place on a cross. Took my place on a cross. We got so used and accustomed to being saved. Let me tell you, it doesn't change the price of what Jesus paid for me and you. He paid it all. And we ought to love Him and adore Him. Every song we ought to sing ought to be pointing to Christ. Every sermon that's delivered ought to be pointed to Christ. Every prayer that is prayed ought to be prayed through Christ. For it is in Christ alone tonight that we have our being and our goings. So, like the Father, like the Son. Back to that text in verse 19. The Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Jesus said, I do everything I see My Father do. I do everything that My Father wants Me to do. And so we see the revelation of the Son. But number two, look at the redemption of the Son in verse 24. The redemption of the Son. This will be one of the few chapters you'll find in your Bible where verse 24 or 25 are one after another using the phrase, verily, verily. Heads up two sentences with that, two verses with that. Verily, verily, or surely, surely. Listen, listen what He says. Now the revelation of the Son, but now the redemption of the Son. Just like the Father. notice now, it's a lot in verse 24. I want to say there's 4 points here in verse 24. Look, there's the proclamation of the gospel. Let's read it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, the redemption of the Son. We see the proclamation of the gospel. Salvation requires that one must listen to the gospel. Look what he says. I say unto you, he that heareth my word, you've got to hear before you can believe. That's why it's so important to get the gospel out. People must hear the gospel in order to be saved. So, salvation requires that one must listen. There's the proclamation of the gospel. But number two, look at the partaking of the gospel. He says, hearing's not enough. It said, and believeth on him that sent me. You see, hearing is not enough. We must believe. We must believe by faith. So, here's this proclamation of the gospel. Here's the partaking of the gospel. But look also in verse 24. There is the possession of the gospel. Look what it says. And he that believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. The greatest life of all. Hold your place there. Turn over the right in your Bible a few pages. John 10:10. Look what Jesus says on this possession of the gospel. I'm glad I possess something in Christ tonight. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life. And watch, and that they might have it more abundantly. There is abundant life in Christ. I'm glad our sins are gone. We're not perfect, but we're made perfect in God's eyes by His Son. It brings a registered process of justification. It's something that has went on in heaven when we believe. He has justified us. He's declared us not guilty. So, I have a possession. I have everlasting life, the greatest life of all. And then, this redemption of the Son, not only do we see this proclamation of the gospel, the partaking of the gospel, and the possession of the gospel, but lastly here, look at the protection of the gospel. Look what the Bible says in verse 24 of John 5. Whoever believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not. You see that word, shall not. God means what He said. Shall not come into condemnation or be condemned, be declared guilty because of our sin. Watch this. But is passed from death unto life. Now, Jesus quickens. He brings to life. We that are saved have been brought from death unto life. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they brought death to all mankind. Now, believe this with all my heart. Children are in safekeeping. When the psalmist David's child died, they sent word to David and said he had died. David washed his face in worship, and David said these words, he cannot come to me, but I can go to where he is. I'm glad all of our little ones are in safe keeping with Jesus. Now, only God knows that age of accountability. That's a personal thing. Some can be sick, some can be whatever. That's God's business. God will be judged, for He knows everything. We're not the judge nor the jury. We know this. God has brought us from death unto life spiritually by a process. We heard the Word and we responded by faith. And the Bible tells us that we have not only a great possession, but we have a great protection. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, this is the reason I believe different than a lot of Baptists. A lot of Baptists say, well, you just get saved and live any kind of way. That's not the Bible. You get saved by repentance through faith. You see yourself as sorry for being a sinner in your sins. And this Bible says when we get saved, the Spirit of God lives in us and we can't do what we used to do all the time. Oh, you may dabble in it, but you'll be miserable. Isn't it amazing? You used to not be miserable. But now you're miserable. You know why? Because somebody's living inside you. We're not ourselves. We're bought with a price. And so I sure am glad that there is protection of the gospel by His Son. Oh, Jesus has done a lot for us, church. Like the Father, like the Son. Now, there's the revelation of the Son. He's just like the Father. The Father doesn't hide anything from the Son. He shows Him everything and the Son carries it out. And then, there's the redemption of the Son. He said that simply in verse 24, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come to condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, here's the resurrection of the Son, and I close. The revelation of the Son. The redemption of the Son. But now the resurrection by the Son. Look what he says. Here's a spiritual resurrection in verse number 25 where a lot of people's been confused, and I want to prove it to you and show it to you in the Word of God. Now, the spiritual resurrection. First of all, verse 25, look at the presence of the resurrection. The presence of the resurrection. Verily, verily, there's our words again. I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. If you underline your Bible right, in verse 25, underline, now is. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. There's the presence of the resurrection. Now, he's talking about that spiritual resurrection. Now, the Bible tells us something in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 2. You see that where it says, and now is? Well, look now in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. Jesus is talking about the resurrection, the spirituality of a man that is saved through salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2. For he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So, now is the time of resurrection when God is bringing life from death. I'm glad He's still saving old sinners tonight. And He's not willing that any perish, but all would come to repentance. So we see this here, like the Father, like the Son, this resurrection of the Son, this spiritual resurrection. Now, let's look at the power of the resurrection back in our text in John 5:26. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. There's this presence of resurrection. There's this power of resurrection. But now, look in verse 28. This one we'll close with. The promise of the resurrection. It's been a lot of use all through the Bible years of just two resurrections. But they've not studied their Bible, because there's more than two resurrections. Now, watch your Bible now in this verse, verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. Now He's moving to this physical resurrection. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of the damnation. Now there are two main resurrections. But in this first resurrection, there have been some stages. I'll give you this for instance. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27 and 51, let's go there, Matthew 27:51. Let's look at this first resurrection that happened. Well, I've got a lot of questions here I could ask you, but I won't say nothing out of the pulpit to confuse you. I'm just going to give you brass tacks tonight. There was a resurrection here. Matthew 27:51. Here the cross where Jesus has just yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. That old law room was rent. Now we could get to God through His Son. And the earth did quake, and look, and the rocks rent. It was a shaking went on when Jesus died. And the graves were open. And watch your Bible. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. What a sight. Now they're part of this first resurrection. Those that are saved. It's, you know, this is where the old timers preached only two resurrections, and I know what they meant. Those that would be raised that were saved, and those that would be raised that were lost, I understand that. But there are really three stages in this first resurrection of the saved. It happened here at Calvary was the first. Then I want to show you the second stage of this first resurrection. It's over in 1 Thessalonians. Turn with me there. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, then we'll go there tonight. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 52. Let's read there. 52. Paul's writing, and he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this old flesh, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Here Paul is referring to where I just read. Watch what your Bible says. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. And look what he says. The dead in Christ shall rise first. When the Lord returns, people's getting out of the graveyards that are saved. That are saved. They're getting up. And we're getting a new body. Now, there's already been one resurrection at Calvary. It didn't say all of them arose, but many. And it's such an amazing thing that God did this shaking. Could you imagine them folks got up out of the graveyard and people seeing them? And not many other writers write about this. That's an amazing thing. But now, this second stage of this first resurrection is when God calls His church out. But I want to refresh your memory on something. When we go home to be with the Lord, the church is called out. 7 years of tribulation is going to happen on this world. Chaos like it's never seen. The Spirit of God will be withdrawn, according to 1 Thessalonians. But there's going to be 144,000 preaching Jews go out preaching the gospel. People will be saved. They will be martyred. Saved in Christ. Well, they got to get up sometime. And so, that general resurrection, what Christ is referring to here, let's go back over our text in John 5 and let's look at it. He says in John 5, 28, marvel not this, for the hour is coming which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth, they that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of the damnation. Two specific resurrections. Those that have never been saved, they're in hell. You hear me tonight? They're in hell. The Bible says that they will be taken up in another resurrection. Look in Revelation 20. I'll be done. Revelation 20. Jesus said, they shall come forth, they that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Let me tell you, people may think they're getting away, but they're not getting away. Jesus has them in a holding place called hell tonight. But there's a place worse than hell. In Revelation 20, and 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire. Now this is after the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years. Where the beast and the false prophet are, they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And watch, there was found no place for them. That's a sad verse in the Bible. And watch, I saw the dead. Not the life, but the dead. Small and great. Look, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And here it is. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is not saved folks being judged. These are lost people at that great white throne that God brings up to that final resurrection. So we that are saved in Christ, we will get new bodies. We'll be resurrected. And then those that have never accepted Christ, there will be another resurrection. At that day when they'll all stand before God individually. Let me tell you something. God has it written down in books tonight. He don't forget nothing. God knows it all. So, preacher, let me ask you something. If I'm saved, when do I get my new body? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, those in the graveyard. But listen to me. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When we die, we don't go to soul sleep. We go to be with Jesus. And when Jesus returns in them clouds, He's bringing us back to unite us with that body. And it's going to come up. We're getting a new glorified body. Can you imagine never hurt again? See, like the Father, like the Son. And this is what I want to tell you as your preacher. There's a lot of people that will argue what I have preached to you tonight about just two resurrections. But the Bible proves that to be false. There has been one resurrection. There'll be another. Then those that are saved and martyred in their tribulation will have to get up again. And then at the end of the tribulation, the millennial reign, God's going to empty hell up and they'll all be judged, every man according to his works that was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they'll be sentenced in the lake of fire. We'll have no bodies. We'll be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. I hope you're saved. Now, I want to tell you this. If you're not, Jesus died for you tonight. He paid your price. And I'm not going to split hairs. I'm not going to argue with nobody. I just want to say this. And this is what you can lay your pillar down with tonight. If God saves you, you ought to be settled about it and anticipating the day when you get the glorified body. And you that are lost, this is where I'll split hairs with you. You that are lost, you die without God, there will not be a second chance. Take that to the bank tonight. And I'm glad Jesus died for us all. Young people, I want to say something as your preacher tonight, but with all my heart. You're safe till the Lord deals with your heart. When God starts knocking on your heart, let Him in by faith. Older people that's not saved and God's been knocking on your heart for years, don't wait any longer. Trust Christ to be your Savior. Every head bowed.